Hi everyone, this is Sumo. I'm very happy to have you on Girls. I have with me Tara Roth.
Yes.
Hi Tara, welcome to Girls.
Thank you.
Can we start maybe by introducing yourself?
Sure. So my name is Tara Roth, and I work at, obviously, at Microsoft on the Office business, and I report to Rajesh Jha running a team called the Customer Success Engineering Team.
Amazing. So what does it mean, Customer Success Engineering?
Yeah, so we are really trying to look broadly at our customers for Office 365, and our primary measure of success is moving the needle on satisfaction for those customers. So we have a lot of responsibilities in the team that span across all of Office. So for example, we are responsible for all the localization of the Office 365 experience. Similarly, the release and delivery aspects. And then we also are really redefining how we approach support for our customers. When we used to have our on-premise products, we handled support very differently than now. We're including support as one of the benefits of being a subscriber to Office 365. So we're reimagining how to approach support.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about your career and how did you get into a CVP level?
Yeah. So I'll first say, I did not even dream of this when I first came to Microsoft, so I'm so excited to be where I am today. I started at the company on a product called Microsoft Project, which was really fun for me because it was something that I had used in college and gotten familiar with there. And then I got to work on a product called Microsoft FrontPage. And that was really fun because it was an acquisition that Microsoft had made. And so getting to join a team where the culture was so different than the Microsoft culture and really help that team onboard to Microsoft. And then I went and worked on Microsoft SharePoint. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I started working on the Office client shared team and later expanded to a couple of different efforts and then now my most recent.
Wow, you're an Office girl from the beginning to the end.
Well, you know what's funny is all of the teams that I've worked on have been reorged into the Office family, but when I was on those teams, they weren't actually a part of, they were separate divisions, separate parts of the company. But it's really good to see how Microsoft is really bringing teams together and how you really can focus more holistically on the customer.
This is so nice. So what's your favorite Office project then, since you're an Office
girl?
Oh,
my favorite, that's so hard. Well, I'll tell you, I was looking at my battery usage on my phone to try and have that indicate what's my favorite. I definitely use Microsoft Outlook the most on my phone. I'm not for sure that it's my favorite app and that there's a lot of, I think, work that we're doing there to improve that experience. I also use OneNote a lot. I find both my personal life and at work, I tend to use OneNote quite a bit,
nice.
So I really enjoy that app.
So we just had Build last week.
Yes.
Is there any Office announcement or any announcement that you're excited about from Build?
Well, just previous to Build, we had an announcement that I was very excited about, so I'd like to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Because I really think it shows the power of Microsoft coming together. In April, on April 20th, we announced as a company that we would be aligning Windows and Office better together for our enterprise customers. And so what that really means for them is we will be two times per year now having a Windows and an Office release that is meant for broad deployment at enterprises. And it used to be that we had slightly different cadences. We went three times a year. Windows mostly went two times per year. And now we're just trying to simplify and reduce any friction that our enterprises are seeing in deploying. So we announced that. We also announced that we're going to have the same names. So that will help also reinforce bringing the latest and greatest to the desktop environment for enterprises, both from the Windows team and the Office team. And then also our support policy. So the length of time by which we support those products will be the same. So we're just trying to remove any obstacle that our customers have in getting their customers current. And I think you've probably seen in the press this weekend, there's a lot going on in the security space right now. And the more we can do to help our customers stay current and really be on the latest service, we can help ensure that they're going to have that highest level of security protection.
Nice,
so,
I love it.
Very excited to see. Mike Fortin has been a great partner throughout this and just been great to collaborate with the Windows team on this. And then it pulls in other parts of the company because SCCM from the CNE team also participates with us. And so it's just been really fun to see One Microsoft coming together in that way.
Yeah, and customer obsession, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes.
No, that's amazing. So let's talk a little bit about your career.
Okay.
So I would guess that you had a lot of mentors in your career. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about one mentor that you had and how that person helped you to grow?
Yeah, I've had so many people. I just think back over the time, how many great managers I've had and great mentors who were either peers of mine or who were in roles that I aspired to. And I think one person in particular that stands out is a woman who ran the project team when I first joined the company. And she was the general manager of the whole team. And the thing I really appreciated about her was she spent time helping the group learn more about the business. A lot of us came from an engineering background, and we didn't have the business angle. She came and brought a lot of training that she did herself around how to read the P&L, how to really understand the business and the customers. And so mm-hmm. I felt like she was trying to really holistically run the team and raise the skill level of everybody, and I really appreciated that as a leader.
Yeah, that's so nice that she... teaching you something different.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about the challenges. Is there any challenges that you want to share with us that maybe could inspire some other people?
Yeah. So I guess two different types of challenges that come to mind. One is I've had different managers in my career that I would say probably the hardest have been where they haven't really had as much interest in the type of work that my team has been mm-hmm. doing or that I was working on. I particularly had a gentleman many, many years ago who, you know, my part of the team was running just fine, and so he kind of just left it to me to run.
Yeah.
But it can be very kind of a lonely job when you don't have that manager to collaborate with and really brainstorm and think about the future of where you want to take that organization. So I'd say that's been one of the challenges is just, you know, when I'm ending up in an organization where the manager may not have as much passion as I do for
right.
the space that I'm leading. Another one I would say challenge-wise is we run a business at Microsoft that if things go wrong, our customers care a lot and they get very upset when things go wrong. And so over the years, we've had many, many incidents that are live-site incidents where you're on the phone, you know, late at night trying to resolve those for the customer. And just, you know, looking back on each of those and trying to make sure that we learn from every one of them. Because while we're in the middle of it, it is a very, very painful experience. But when you take a step back and learn and hopefully can prevent that similar sort of issue from coming again, has been good. I remember one in particular where we shipped a product that we had never proven that we could patch it or that we could fix it afterwards. And sure enough, it didn't actually, couldn't be patched. And so that was very painful to go back and get that fixed. And so it's just been a lot of learning not to repeat some of the same mistakes that you've made.
Exactly. So as a person who's focused on customer obsession and customer success, mm-hmm. What would be your advice to a normal developer to think about the customer? Sometimes, you know, devs will focus on doing the things that they care about as
right.
a person they care about, but maybe they don't spend enough time to think about the customer. What would be your advice for that?
I think there's a couple of ways, and I've seen this, a lot of teams are doing great, great work here, but really thinking about the data and the telemetry that you can build into your feature such that you can get a signal back from the customer. It's not necessarily that you're talking to them face-to-face every day, but you're getting a signal every day as to how that capability is actually being utilized and what sort of problems the customer may be running into. So I think the telemetry data for the feature that you build is critically important. I also think there are a lot of signals around the company that we've historically not made available to engineers. And it, as an example of that, the support data was something that for many, many years, you know, of a lot of the history I've had here at the company, we had to wait for the CSS organization to come and roll up the top support calls
right.
that we were getting on your feature. And that, there's just a lag, it's inaccurate because somebody's having to hand categorize those things, and now we're getting to the point where that support signal is a real-time signal. So as an engineer, you can be looking at that signal every single day to see what customers are calling in about and struggling with. And that is a huge, I think, signal to how you can be more customer-obsessed and listen to what those customers are struggling with and how you can prevent those calls from even coming in the first place because you can change the feature.
Yeah, exactly. So looking at the data is the way to understand the customers. Nice. It's just, I mean, some people say sometimes customers, they don't know what they want.
Yes.
I don't know, like, how wrong or how right is this statement, but I get what you mean by looking looking at the data will help understand the customer.
Well, certainly customers know when they're not happy, and they will let us know that, and so we should listen to those signals. I think sometimes when people use the term customers don't know what they want, oftentimes I see that when we're trying to predict what we need to be building for them, net new products that might need to come in the future. But certainly customers know what they don't like. Or when they're confused.
They will let you know.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Let's touch base a little bit on like how to balance life and work. So I think you're a mom.
Yes.
So do you want to tell us like a little bit about your personal life?
Yes, I just had a great Mother's Day weekend.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, thank you. So yes, I do. I have two kids, and one of which just started college, and so that's been a fun experience for all of us. And then my son is a freshman in high school, and I just over the years, you know, it obviously changes as the kids are different ages, but I'd say early on for me was probably the hardest to figure out how to strike that balance when they're toddlers and they really need your attention, you know, a lot of their time. And then, you know, as they grow older and they become more independent and making sure that, you know, just balancing. And so for me, I've really changed some of my ways over the years. One example is when the kids were in grade school, I remembered thinking back at, wow, this is happening so fast. They're moving through these grades so quickly. And I really, early on, I wasn't really even taking time to get to know their teachers or other students. And so I decided, okay, I'm gonna take time because this is not, they're not going to be living with me, you know, forever. So I started to volunteer in the classroom because I thought that was a good way to both get to know the teacher, the students, and see them more frequently in their environment. And that was just a wonderful experience that was, it was hard to squeeze in because it's hard to leave during the business day. But I picked slots that the teachers had available that were right at the beginning of the school day so that I could go there first thing in the morning and then get to work after that. And so I got a chance to teach a computer science class, which was really fun. And then also to, I shouldn't say computer science. It was really PowerPoint and Word. Because at that point they were, maybe third and fourth graders. So I shouldn't call it computer science. But introducing them to computers and how they could use it in their schoolwork. Right. And then also just in the classroom, I got to do things, memorization and letting the kids recite back to me things that they had memorized, of correcting math. So just, it was a great way, and I'm so glad looking back that I took that time, because when the kids get into high school, the teachers don't really want or need your help. So it was a fun way when they were younger.
Wow, yeah, that's so nice. This is a great idea to get in touch with the, and to balance, like, I'm present here and I'm present here. That's amazing. A question that I ask everyone who comes to the show, why do you think we need more women in tech?
Well, I look at it, a lot of it, from the business angle as well as just the diversity of ideas that we can bring as a team when you have a variety of people in the organization. First of all, from the business angle, you just look at the amount of money that women spend, and we want to make sure that we're building products, both our hardware and our software, that everybody is going to want to buy. And from a diversity perspective, I think having women, because they do spend a lot of money, you want to make sure that you're designing products in a way that they're going to want them. So I think for me, that's the simplest reason. And the second reason is really just the team. If you have a diverse set of ideas, they're going to be able to empathize with those types of users and be able to ensure that those ideas are being brought into the design process as we're designing new capabilities.
Right. So diversity of ideas. Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah, I definitely relate. I definitely relate to this.
Yes, and fortunately, in a customer success engineering team, I find that there's a lot of people that are attracted to that because they really do have that passion for customer. And
It's been, so you have a good diversity in your team.
Well, we're still working on it, but but I would say it's been good to see how many diverse folks from around the world, you know, male, female, all sorts of ethnic backgrounds are interested in that. It's just a common grounding across a lot of people. So
yeah, I think humans have empathy by default.
Yes.
So definitely customer yes. engagement is great, mm-hmm. goes with the empathy part. Mm-hmm. So it looks like you are a sport girl.
Well, I don't know if I can say sport girl, but...
What kind of workout do you do?
Well, so I like to do active things. So I enjoy snow skiing and water skiing, and I'm learning to surf behind the boat, if you've seen
nice.
That sport. Yes.
Yeah,
so I enjoy getting out and doing activities like that when the weather is, you know, one way or the other, whether it's snow or sun. Mm-hmm. And then I try to get to yoga because I just think it's really good stretching. I mostly, mm-hmm. from a stretching perspective, I like it, and loosening up the shoulders and the neck from all the work we do here
from
at computers.
Satellite.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then for those who like to walk with me, they know I walk fast, and I like to take the stairs wherever I go too. So just trying to.
Wow, nice. How do you find the time to do all of
well,
this?
Well, that's why I do the stairs, because you can take those anywhere. You don't have to be at the gym. I would say, for me, I try to do activities like snow skiing and water skiing that are with the family, where you're getting exercise, but you're also
with the family.
Nice. That's how we typically fit it in, is as a family.
No, that's great. That's amazing. I think time management is the hardest challenges, at least
it
I'm
is.
Going through as a mom of toddlers right now.
Yeah.
Like how to find time for them and for the activity and for
yes.
the work. So I think, you find the right spot of mixing them
yes.
all together.
You know what we used to do? I should start this back up again, but we used to, every weekend, we would have each of us pick a different sport activity so that we'd get some variety. So one weekend would be my son's turn, and he'd get to pick the sport that we would go and do, just as a way to get exercise and to do something that the kids enjoyed.
That's so cool. That's
but
a nice
we've kind
idea.
Of dropped doing that. I should pick that back up.
Who
we
makes
kind of
the
just gotten
right
more
now?
Into. Well, we kind of just gotten more into. Okay, if it's skiing season, we're going skiing, or if it's snow, water skiing season, we
the habit. If everyone likes the activity,
exactly.
I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we usually do some lightning round.
Oh, okay.
Are you up for that?
I'm up for lightning.
Okay, let's do that. Coffee or tea? I think we already...
Well, I like lattes. Today
okay.
it's tea because I feel like I've got a little bit of a sore throat, so I am...
So you're
but
both
latte.
Coffee? Latte.
Latte is latte. My preferred.
Okay, awesome. What's the thing that you do first when you wake up?
I typically like to have breakfast with the family before I get to going, so that's our first.
Nice. Yeah. Family always first.
Yes.
Awesome. I like it. Okay, what's your most useless gadget? If you're like a gadget collector,
I've got maybe two things here. So I remember I bought one of the early on tablets from Dell, and I think that sat in the drawer and I never did use it, just from a battery life perspective. I don't think mm-hmm. it was where it needed to be. And then in the kitchen, probably an avocado slicer. I don't know. It's just much faster to do it with a knife.
So you don't have to use the gadget.
Exactly. Less to clean.
That's so funny. Okay, next question. Do you listen to music, and what kind of music?
You know, I listen to music, but at home. I don't typically when I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
But I like all sorts of, I'd say maybe soft rock. It's probably
nice.
Yeah, rock.
Cool. Meet someone who's listening to some kind of type of rock, I ask if they also do an instrument. But
I played saxophone in the high school, but I have not played.
It's so trendy right now.
Yes.
The new songs, they have saxophone.
Yes, it is.
Maybe you
it's a
get
fun
back
instrument.
To it.
That would take a lot of lung power. I'd have to build back up.
Next question. I don't know if you still code, but if you still code, what's your favorite language?
You know, lately my son has been taking a computer science class in high school, and it's been
nice.
Fun. He's been taking Java. So as he's been, I just with him sitting down and reading over the book, and that's been fun to learn. It wasn't something that I took in high school or college, so that's been my latest.
That's so nice that they're teaching them now in high school.
I know. I'm so excited. It's the first time they've had this computer science class available.
So they, what do they learn? Algorithm or more like how to code a game?
They're building sample projects. So they're writing code and writing sample projects and then doing their own testing, which has been fun to
nice.
See. Yeah, and it's as a freshman too. So it's been really fun to see them
That's
getting
so
that
cool.
exposure as a freshman in high school.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. is there any product you would like to work on, even though if it's not on Microsoft?
Ah, yes.
Stays between us, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, just it's broadcast. Okay. You know, I think the thing that's been fascinating me lately is the combination of hardware and software. And then the intelligence piece of it. So the speaker that we just announced mm-hmm. that is going to work with Cortana. The Amazon Echo also in that same flavor, but that combination of being able to use intelligence and help solve a productivity issue or challenge that a customer is facing,
right,
I think is
right.
a really fun area that I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I can imagine, you know, buying those for my family members, and it's a new type of device that we really haven't sold before. So I'm excited to see how we can get the software to the point where we really make it easy enough and intelligent enough that.
Yeah, I'm excited to try this new device. I have an Echo at home.
Yeah.
And it's in the kitchen, so it's always like setting timer for food.
Right, exactly.
Or connecting to the phone so I can hear my music or something.
Right. More of a consumer scenario,
but
I'm thinking
scenario.
There's a lot we can do here, I think, for
definitely with office products,
productivity.
For productivity-wise, mm-hmm. yeah, if mm-hmm. I can tell it what's on my calendar or
yeah.
something like this.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yes.
Definitely. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see in my lightning round. What question did I have? I usually have my phone, but I stopped having my phone. I have my questions in
You've
my head.
You've done this so many times, you know them all by heart.
Exactly. I think. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything you want to end up with? I think you're passionate about education and STEM. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts about that? And what would be your advice to little girls to get into STEM?
Yeah. This is an area where there's so much we can do. And I love going in and helping at the schools and really encouraging at that age, because I think a lot of decisions about what people are interested in kind of tend to get made in those grade school, junior high years. And so I love that there's more and more schools now introducing computer science into their curriculum so that there's that opportunity to get exposure. But in terms of encouragement, I would say use technology. That's one of the most fun things for me, is to be on the early edge of getting to use all this great technology.
Right.
And once you get hooked on using it, and then you want to figure out how you can help build it. And so I think using it is
so
a great place to start.
Being the first consumer and then ask the question of maybe, how is this working?
Right.
Right.
How can I
build the same thing?
Right. Yes.
Nice. I like this advice. It's the first time someone gives this advice. It's so obvious, but I don't know. It's so great.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tara, for
welcome.
Being on Girls. I really love the conversation. Customer success engagement, that's amazing.
Thank you. Yes, I appreciate you having this forum too. Hopefully it helps to us.
No, it definitely helps. And I think a lot of girls will relate to you, I hope, through. Please put in the comments through this conversation. Thank you, Tara, for being on Girls.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.